I'm fucking tired.
Yeah. I think...
I have nothing witty, no nothing stupid, punny.
Well, you don't normally have things witty, you know.
But pretend they are. I'm just not even going to try, though. I am just so dead from our trip to C2E2.
Yeah, it's... and actually, we need to start off here. Big thanks again to C2E2 for, you know, allowing us to get press passes for our first year, you know, on applying. It's a lengthy process. I appreciate what they do that they require to put in for that. And, man, is that so worth it.
Yeah. And, listeners, just to give you a quick synopsis, this episode is going to be a bit different than normal because we're going to get right through it. We have some fun stuff later. We'll talk about all the interviews and when we're going to possibly be putting those up later this week. So bear with us with a little bit quicker format this week, but hopefully you still enjoy the show.
Yeah, a little quicker format on the normal stuff, but some added bonus material.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah. So let's get right into it with Off the Shelf. Off the Shelf is, speaking of conventions, brought to you by Motor City Comic Con. And that's happening May 16th through the 18th at the Suburban Collection Showplace in Novi, Michigan. And you can find them online at, what is it, MotorCityComicCon.com.
Yep.
Yeah. So, as far as books, Tony, what do you got this week?
Well, I have the age-old question. Who watches The Watcher? Or should I say, who is The Watcher? Because that's what the title says on the front. I got Original Sin number 0 of 8, which technically then means it would be like 1 of 9 if we used real numbers, but we'll start with a 0 issue already. And ultimately, you know I'm going to be talking about this till the event's over. I know you're going to get sick of hearing me talk about this until the event's over, but this seems like a very well-thought-out event in Marvel, and I usually am one of those kind of haters of, God, not another event. We just got done with Infinity, which was also great, but how many events can you have within a year before they start just being stale?
Well, you know, the thing with events is that it's gotten to the point now where there's a big, massive event that seems to have to happen. It's almost that it has to happen every year. And I think it takes some of the impact away from it, typically. But now with this one, I don't know. I'm super happy about it. Fucking hate The Watcher. Kill him.
And I know that you don't like this. Well, you like the story for that reason. Another kind of cool reason that you might like with this event is the many different writers and artists that are coming on board to do different parts of the issues. From talking to some of the people at the show this past weekend, some of them were saying that they did some pages here, they did an issue here, but that it was going to be a collaborative effort with a lot of Marvel people in the background doing this event. So it's very a big in-house type deal. This one, written by Mark Waid, pencils by Jim Cheng and Paco Medina. A lot of inkers: Mark Morales, Guillermo Ortigo, Dave Makis, Juan Viasco, Jim Cheng again, and some Justin Ponce.
Yeah. I see what you're doing there. Justin Poncer.
Yes, which we were able to talk to
about colors.
Yeah.
Because that's what he did on this.
Yes.
We haven't really
said that. Oh, yeah, and even finished with trying to butcher his name. He's one of the few ones that I could actually say correctly, so.
Yeah. I like how you, I think we're trying to say Guillermo on one of the names.
Oh, yeah. Probably. You know us. We have a few beers and we can't say Tony Stark correctly.
Tony Stark.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, continue on your book there, Tone.
All right, first off, the art, very, very, the panel layout's very good. Going back to the art, there's stuff where it's just showing the many different realities, the different things that the watcher sees. I can see why they had a lot of different inkers and some different people working on this, because this is a pretty thick book. I mean, it's $4.99, so extra buck there than normal, but it gave a great story following Nova, the new Nova, not the Richard Rider that I've, you know, loved growing up. And I haven't read the new Nova at all, but having him be the narrator through this made this issue really work.
Because it's got to be a lot better than having the Watcher as the narrator. I don't know what it is about the voice of that character that when most writers do that and have him be the Watcher, I have no connection. So maybe I will read this, because with that Nova being, you know, the narrator, I might be able to feel a little bit more about what's happening in the story.
And to get to the point of what you were just talking about, it's the only issue I had with this issue was where when he's narrating, talking about, and the Watcher's so quiet and doesn't really talk. I'm like, what? He fucking talks his ass off all the time. He's hanging out with the Richards and
fucking browbeating Hank McCoy.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, but you're going to go for the stoic, silent Watcher right now. And with that, you get Nova, who is fighting a bad guy and wondering, hey, is that Watcher guy going to show up when the Avengers come? Like, I just did, you know, this really amazing thing. He's going to come watch me, right? And it's that young adolescence that you're like, this young superhero kind of wants to be in one of those events. He wants to be involved where the Watcher actually shows up in one of those events. And the Avengers are kind of like small fry, you know, it's... Who you just beat was nothing. And then he was asking, well, what does the Watcher do? You know, who is the Watcher? And these questions of, I don't know, pretty much trying to figure out what makes the Watcher tick, makes him go to the moon to then ask him. And throughout all this, there's images, there's things where you see some past events from the Watcher. I take great parallels to, what the hell are, they're just the Guardians for the Green Lanterns. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, besides being big-headed, bald people, the Watchers, I felt, are kind of like that. Guardians of the Galaxy. Not that trade paperback, but, or other title.
Yeah.
However, he doesn't talk in this at all until the end, which seems like it's a very telling thing for Nova. I'm not going to give it away, but pretty much he says Nova's dad's alive. Oops, spoiler.
I'm not going to give anything away. Yeah.
But you see this sad person who keeps replaying back to this one event that is throughout all realities, which is his father.
Now, are you talking Nova, or are you talking...
No, talking about the Watcher.
Oh.
Seeing the different possibilities, seeing all the things that happen, but whatever it is, he's just recalling a time that his father kind of made the hands off, no talking, no doing anything rule for them. This was a great, I don't know, I guess, issue in kind of getting in the head of the Watcher and how lonely he is.
There's a lot of room there because he has a huge head.
But ultimately very good, and a very good starting point for Original Sin. If you have no clue what's going on, this can at least tell you a bit of who this person is, even though you don't really get to know who he is, because no one really knows who he is, because who is he?
He's the Watcher. And he's dead.
Not yet.
Well, not yet, but... Yeah,
spoiler alert, Derek.
Yeah. The one thing that I will mention on this is that, you know, I think I'm going to be happy for Nova, because you said that, you know, he wants the Watcher and all that to show up because he wants to be part of a big event. He is now. He's part of a big crossover event at Marvel. So he got his wish granted.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. True, true.
Yeah. All right. I've got this week, and I have to be careful about this one, and Tony, so do you a little bit, because one of the benefits of going to C2E2 was seeing the guys from Boom Studios. Amazing presence at that show with a ton of great creators and a ton of their books that were out. And I think one of the most fun parts was walking up there and we're sitting there looking at it going, Reddit. Like, there was like one book on their table that I hadn't read. And then the other thing, looking across the table and saying, reviewed it.
Yep.
And realizing how many great titles they have. The really cool thing was, I was sitting there looking, I'm like, what's that book? I don't recognize that cover. And then I looked, and in really small letters, like in shadows on it, it says The Woods. I peed a little bit, because...
Because you had to go to the bathroom?
No.
Because you drank too much pop?
No, that certainly wasn't a problem at all. No, I peed a little bit because I was like, wait a minute, The Woods, we talked about that like a week or two ago, about that book coming out, and I'm like, oh, and we talked to Matt Gagnon, who is the editor-in-chief at Boom, I believe is his title, and I'm like, wait, I didn't think that comes out, and he goes, oh yeah, it doesn't come out till Wednesday. This is the special edition, you know, released for C2E2. So, in my hands, and in your hands, Tony, because you've got your own copy, is The Woods number one with the really cool C2E2 variant cover, and that was done by Tyler Jenkins. Now, The Woods is created and written by James Tinian IV, and art is by Michael Dialinus, colors by Josan Gonzalez, and letters by Ed Dukeshire. Now, we talked about the premise of this a while back, excuse me, that this is a story about a small private high school from Milwaukee, Wisconsin,
deserted on a island beach.
That not an island beach.
No woods around at all.
No. Lots of woods. But no, their whole high school gets magically transported to a different world, a different realm. We don't know what. And
yeah, and it sucks because not being able to kind of talk about some things. What's the name? Not Benjamin, the bigger football player.
I think Ben was the football player, or was it Isaac?
No, I think it was when he says where they're on, not necessarily a planet.
Yeah,
I mean
Ben was the big strong guy.
Yeah,
yeah, but yeah, it's Well, it doesn't. Something like that isn't really going to matter as much because.
Still, I like that throughout the storytelling, these kids are thinking smart. It's not one of those. No, they're actually using their heads and deciding.
When I said it didn't matter, I mean I think this we can give away. They realize that they're not on a planet; they're actually on a moon. You know, that part we can share. The one thing I'm going to say first is it's definitely a good character-driven story. Tinian did a really, really nice job not only setting up the stereotypes of people that are in high school, but then immediately breaking them down so that they aren't stereotypical characters and you start to see who these people really are. That was cool. It's a little slower start for something on this book, but all
once the action picks up,
holy shit!
Yeah.
It was so worth a little bit slower start because it wouldn't have been as good at the end on there had he not built, you know, put all the right pieces in place for that to happen.
Yeah, there are some holy cow moments. Like, did that just happen?
Literally, holy fuck out loud moments because you were sitting next to me when I was reading it for the first time. You hadn't read it yet. And I literally went, holy fuck! And you're like, what? And I'm like, you'll see. But yeah, it's definitely, you know, something cool. And going back through it, after you read this for the first time, go back through and reread it. Because the first page means something totally different now as I reread it. And mm-hmm. went back that second time and I looked at that first page and I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
This is insane. This book, well worth picking up and read it twice.
And it's great that we can actually say it before it's even hitting stands. You guys need to go pick this up.
Yes. Yeah, definitely do it. There's just a lot of really, really solid storytelling. As far as the artwork in here, the style itself, I'd say, is slightly more towards the animation style. Mm-hmm. You know, than maybe like a realistic style on here. The colors in this book, it's definitely dark, and it really sets off, you know, the tone of it. But the actual artwork with the color combo, it works great for the story. So I'm super impressed with it. I really hope that people go and give this one a shot. And hats off to Boom for coming up with this, because, you know, once again
they got a solid book on their hands.
Yeah, and great creator-owned stuff. So that's all I got for off the shelf. All
right, well, let's speed on down to some news.
All right, news this week is brought to you again by Daw Apparel, and it's DAWAPARREL.com. And you guys go to Daw Apparel and put in the code DOC20. You get 20% off all your stuff, like your cool Drunk on Comics, you know, t-shirts. And even if you buy other stuff, you get 20% off that. And, yeah.
And if you tweet it out or put it on social media, free shipping.
Yeah.
So save even more.
Yep.
Just by knowing us.
Yeah. And plus, you get to wear stuff with our logos, which we don't even have our shirts yet. Because we forgot to order them.
Shit.
Only because we've been so busy planning for conventions. But, yeah, we will be getting our hands on our own here pretty soon. So, yeah, go check out Daw Apparel, guys. News. Tony, what would you like to start with?
Let's start with something new. As in, there's this character named Robin who there's going to be a new one. Because we didn't figure that was going to happen.
Well, we don't know if it's going to be a new one or if one of the old Robins is going to reprise their role as Robin. Who the fuck knows?
And to be honest, though, hasn't there been a book of Batman and Robin still going out? Like, or has that just been Batman team-ups? You're my new Robin now.
It actually wasn't half bad. It's like the first time you've ever done a halfway decent impression.
Superman, I'm going to call you Robin.
Anyway, yeah, there's basically in July, DC has announced through solicitations that there's a one shot coming out called Robin Rises Omega Number One, and it's going to be Peter J. Tomasi and Andy Kubert, the creative team on that. So the question really is Robin returning? Or is it a new Robin? We don't know. Theoretically possible with the storyline that they could be resurrecting Damian. So, who knows on that one. Another return to comics is Barbed Wire.
I didn't know it left.
Well, have you seen Barbed Wire on the stands?
I saw it in the movie theater.
Yeah, well,
I'm kidding, I didn't even see that, but
I think I own it.
I think you do, too.
Yeah, I do. I'm because, you know, we happen to be recording from my place tonight rather than the studio, so, if, you know, regular listeners, if you're wondering why it might be a little echoey, it's because we don't have our studio handy tonight, just because it was a lot shorter to travel to my place than the studio. But anyway, Dark Horse is bringing back Barbed Wire. Where I think most people are more familiar with the Pam Anderson movie of Barbed Wire, mm-hmm, than they are the fact that it was actually a comic book first. At least in my opinion, I think most people just thought it was something dumb and silly. But I'm actually really interested in this because I only saw like small little portions of the Barbed Wire comic. I'm really curious, actually, to read that character. Yeah, it's a lot of TNA, but I also thought that was one of those characters that was a good, strong female character, even though there was TNA. So, mm-hmm, you know, we'll see
what happens. Speaking of characters, Wolverine's going to be on WWE.
Yeah, I heard about that, and apparently he was on WWE way back in the day when the first Wolverine movie came out, and so Hugh Jackman is coming back now, and he's going to be on WWE Raw. When is it that he's going to be there? I saw the
something in the next there. Couple of weeks, if not this week.
Yeah, yeah, it's the 4/28. So yeah, it'll be the Monday. I think the Monday that this podcast will go up, because I think we're going to be a little bit behind on posting this one. So yeah, if you missed it by the time you listen to this,
it happened. So
yeah, you can probably find it on something.
Hey, old news is still good news.
And no good news is good news. with Gary Gnu on the Great Space Coaster.
Don't even bring that shit up again.
There's a throwback for you.
Earth 2 is going to get a weekly series from DC.
Yeah, that was that was kind of something neat, because the Batman Eternal is, I think, in its third or fourth week right now.
Yep.
Of a 1 year, 52 week weekly series. And so this is going to be Earth 2 World's End, and it's going to be weekly stories, obviously, there. Some of the names that I saw as far as the writers are Mike Johnson, Daniel H. Wilson, Paul Levitz, Tom Taylor, Marguerite Bennett, and artists Tyler Kirkham, Jorge Jimenez, Steven Segovia, Paul Sekira, and Eddie Barrows were just a few of the people that I saw listed.
You know, I'm just starting to formulate a thought in my head. Doesn't happen often, but I'm starting to feel a whole Simpsons did it thing coming on. Marvel has their Ultimate Universe that they've extensively did different stuff with. DC is using Earth 2 world and bringing a lot out of it right now as their other big world. I mean, does that make sense a bit?
The Simpsons did it part doesn't.
Oh, you've never seen that South Park episode? Simpsons has done everything.
Oh, okay.
So they even did Earth 2, probably somewhere.
So you're basically just saying Keeping Up with the Joneses.
Yeah. What?
That's old-timey talk for people like me, and then old-timey redneck farmer talk because we're having a pretty good storm going on right now, and like my one grandpa used to say, it's raining harder than an old cow pissing on a flat rock.
I totally don't get that reference, but
never seen an old cow piss on a flat rock, but let me tell you. there's just two more little things that I had this week. One is another Boom Studios thing here. Cyanide and Happiness is having a collection of their comics being printed by Boom, so they're going to be in print for the first time, something that's just been an online daily webcomic for years. I mean, like, I don't know how many years I've been that they started, but it's got to be around 10.
I'm glad that it's getting in a book format so that more people can experience if they haven't used this thing called the internet. It's magical. It's awesome. If you've not seen Cyanide and Happiness.
If any of our listeners haven't heard or haven't used the internet, I have no idea how they're hearing us. Because between Stitcher, iTunes, and our website, they're technically using the internet.
Someone took a tape recorder up against the speakers and were recording it and gave the tape to their friend.
That was really nice of you, friend.
Yeah. One thing that we learned on the show floor is Stegman is no longer in Wolverine.
Oh yeah, Ryan Stegman is going to be done on his run on Wolverine, and is going to start on Inhumans.
And I'm quite happy about. Well, I mean, I'm happy with whatever he's doing because he's very talented, one of my favorite artists. But I love Inhumans, so that's just going to make that book 10 times better.
That book now, I think, will have one of the biggest powerhouse teams in comics with Charles Soule, writing, and Ryan on pencils. That's going to be fucking ridiculous. So, yeah, I'm actually much more interested in that book now than I was before. So, and like I'd said before when we were talking about Wolverine, and Stegman's at the top of his game right now. I've never seen better work by him, ever. And he's been great for years. So to say that, I'm very, very curious to see what happens. My last thing is actually, I think, the biggest news, which was kind of why I held it till the end, and that was that the Eisner Award nominees were listed off here earlier this week. And there's some really cool things in here. I do want to just give a couple shout-outs on just a few of the top categories, if you will, that I think a lot of people are going to be looking at. Continuing series nominees were East of West, Hawkeye, Nowhere Men, Saga, and Sex Criminals. For new series, there was High Crimes, Lazarus, Rat Queens, Sex Criminals, and Watson and Holmes. And then limited series was The Black Beetle, No Way Out, Colder, 47 Ronin, Trillium, and The Wake. And I thought it was kind of cool because I was like, oh yeah. Like, I mean, I started looking at these going, boy, you know, it's like I went on and on about Colder. I went on and on about Trillium. I went on and on about The Wake. The Black Beetle, I actually just picked up and I'm in the process of starting to read that. But 47 Ronin, now I got to go grab that one. Because it's nice to see when these nominees are coming out and I'm like, well, God, yeah, that was fantastic. Because sometimes certain award shows, like, and I do say award shows out there, I don't mean the Eisners, but certain award shows out there, they nominate the stuff that they think they have to. And it's nice when you see stuff in there, you're like, yeah, that person is great, or that book is great. And you're like, okay, you know what? Maybe I missed something. I want to go back and read it. The writers, I want to give the writers and, you know, a couple artists shouts out on here, and I don't normally go through all these, but I think these are important. Writers, we had Kelly Sue DeConnick, Matt Fraction, Jonathan Hickman, Scott Snyder, Eric Stevenson, and Brian K. Vaughn. As a writer-artist, we had Isabel Greenberg, Jamie Hernandez, Terry Moore, Luke Pearson, Matt Phelan, and Judith Vanistendel. And then penciler, we had Nate Belgarde, Nick Dragotta, Sean Murphy, Nate Powell, Emma Rios, and Thomas Yates. There's a lot more people that are nominated for different categories in here and a lot more books. Everybody really should go look this up. The LA Times actually had a great article on it, which surprised me. So, anyway, check that out when you guys have a chance.
All right. Do, like I said, we're doing all this zippity-doo-dah, zipping through. Indy Turnpike.
Yeah. Indy Turnpike is going to be really zippy.
Yep. Bunker number 3.
Yeah, from Oni Press, written by Joshua Fialkoff and Joe Infernari on art. And the reason that we aren't going to really discuss this one this week is that in our, I think it's our second
set of interviews.
Yeah, our second set of interviews, which will be posted probably tail end of this week, if you're listening to this podcast on the first day that it comes out. We actually had a chance to talk with Josh Fialkoff himself, and so we'll kind of discuss the book more in detail then. So
right now, we're just going to say, go get it.
Yeah, yeah. No reason to double dip on this. And well, actually, there really is, but we're kind of beat.
Yeah. So with that, we're going to go straight on to Booze in a Book.
Yeah. Booze in a Book. Tony, what was the booze this week?
The booze this week was a great beer from Revolution Brewery over in Chicago, Illinois, called Antihero.
Did you say Illinois?
Yes, I did. I was trying to keep going, so it's got an S at the end.
You know, I love the fact that I'm the hillbilly redneck old fart that says weird things, but even I know how to say Illinois.
Well, so yeah. Anyways, I was hoping you didn't catch that, because I was like, I just said that, and I'm going to keep on going. Antihero. It is American IPA, 6.5% alcohol by volume. It's very subtle. It doesn't taste necessarily like a very hoppy IPA like I'm used to. it was really rich, and I really liked it, and I enjoyed it. And the can was pretty sweet with the fist raised up in the air when we were at an awesome bar on Friday night in Chicago.
And what we're pairing this with this week is Strange Attractors, which was put out by Archaea Press. And this is just a nice, thick trade paperback written by Charles Soule and art by Greg Scott. And I'm late to the game on this. I'm not going to lie. This book's been out for just over a year now. But this is the first time that I had the chance. Now, that Charles Soule was at C2E2 and stopped and talked to him briefly. And I'm like, I've been wanting to pick this book up. You're here right now. It's my perfect reason to. The reason that we're pairing Anti-Hero with Strange Attractors has nothing to do with anyone in this book being an anti-hero, but Tony and I were talking that Anti-Hero is a very complex beer, that there's a lot more going on, and there's a lot of things that you don't expect with it. But and I'm not fully all the way through Strange Attractors yet.
Well, you mean from picking that up this weekend, you have not gotten through that thick book? Come on, Derek.
I tell you what, I put a hell of a dent in it.
That is true.
And I put a hell of a dent in that keg of what the hell do you call it? What's our beer? Apparently, I killed a lot of brain cells.
Anti-hero.
I put a hell of a dent in that keg of Anti-Hero at the one bar we were at as well. So anyway, go pick up Anti-Hero if you can find it, and go pick up Strange Attractors if you can find it. Both are well worth searching out. So that's Booze in a Book this week. And that
pretty much does it for normal stuff.
Other than Last Call?
Oh, yeah. I guess there's a couple other books I have.
Yeah. Last Call is brought to you by our good friends at Fanfare Sports and Entertainment in Kalamazoo, Michigan. You can go check those guys out at fanfare-se.com. And take a look at all the original art and goodies that they have on their website.
God, this week almost made me go broke. I had to take out a second mortgage on my house. I had a lot of books.
Tony.
What?
When people listen to the road trip, they aren't going to feel bad about you.
Oh, God. Shit, yeah. And I'm totally lying anyways, because that's why I had some money for that shit. Because I only had a couple other books, two of which I'm going to talk about. Fantastic Four, number 3, and Guardians of the Galaxy, number 14, which is a double-sized issue. So it was, once again, a dollar more, but more pound for the punch.
More pound for the punch. All right. I like that.
Yeah.
Is that one of those new-timey
things? Yeah. More bang for the boom. More sinister for the symbiote? I don't know.
More kaboom for the kangaroo?
Yeah. No, but this is the starting of the new arc with Venom joining the team, so that was kind of sweet.
Cool. Speaking of a little more play for the platypus, I've got... What, you never heard that one before?
No.
Me either.
Did you work at a zoo or something?
Yeah, I haven't heard that either, but it sounded like old-timey, and I'm like... I'm just going to try and slip
that actually, I don't know, that could be a new catchphrase.
Yeah, one more play for the platypus. Walking Dead number 126, The End of All-Out War. And what I will say about this, and Tony, when you get a chance to read it, which I know isn't too far off, this is a really good ending to what was a pretty darn good arc, a little drawn out at times, and this one does get a little preachy, but at the end... Man, I felt good.
Carl finally went in the house?
Yes! He was inside! Yeah, but you know the TV show and the book don't follow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lazarus, number 8. I don't know how Rucka and Lark are doing it, but this book is getting better with every issue.
Oh, I forgot another book. It's in with all my things I got signed this weekend. Letter 44, Issue 6 came out.
Yep. That one came out. Another Charles Soule. Daredevil number 2. Damn it, why did I not get Chris Somney to sign this one? I had it sitting there with me. I'm an idiot. But, yeah, that one came out. Lady Rawhide number 5. is there...
That's the back end, right?
Yeah, well, this... The Lady Rawhide here is... Okay, I'm going to say one thing here, because I do get some crap sometimes for reading comics that are heavy in the TNA type stuff. But what I'm going to be very upfront about is just because women are drawn in a certain way does not mean that this character of Lady Rawhide is not a very strong female character. And I take a little offense sometimes. There are definite comics that are just TNA.
Yes, but I would say there are also many who have strong female characters. They may be drawn in a certain way, but that doesn't take away...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, but this to me is good campy fun, but there's actually, like, it feels like there's a heart and good morals to the story in this, which is weird because her boobs are falling out all the time. but yeah, this was the last. It was number 5 of 5, and so fittingly enough, the cover shows the backside of Lady Rawhide because it's the end.
Did you check issue 1 and see if it was a reverse image?
You know what? I should, but I don't think it was, because I pretty much remember what that cover looked like.
All right, that'd be cool if it did though.
Yeah, Code Red number 5 from Xenoscope. And then I think one of the best, well, if we were doing our normal best on tap, this would have won, but this one also could have won for best art for the week, Elektra number 1. And yeah, go buy that one, strictly if nothing for the art on there. And that was Del Mundo that did the art on that. But gorgeous, gorgeous stuff. And that pretty much wraps it up on all of our normal stuff. So now it's time for the
fun stuff.
Yeah, the bonus track,
if yes. you will. We had, obviously, a blast at C2E2, but we also recorded our trips there and partly back, but not really a lot on the back part. It was kind of more of a reminiscing of our time there. So there's going to be a blank spot in there where we did all of our interviews that will be posted later. So you may get a glimpse of some of the people we got to interview when we're talking about some of our favorite moments at the show. But hopefully you just enjoy us, I don't know, I guess, babbling and talking. And
yeah, I'm kind of curious because we just set the thing on record a lot. So I'm kind of curious what you clipped out. And just a heads up, you know, there's going to be some road noise there, but we worked our butt off to try and make it, you know, as palatable to the ears as possible.
Yeah, we?
Yeah, we.
Okay, I'll give you some credit on reducing some of that noise.
Yeah, because I had to hold the handheld recorder so that it made less noise while we were driving down the road. That's my part.
And play with the platypus, I guess. That's
no, more play for the platypus.
Okay.
Not play with the platypus. That sounds gross.
All right, listeners, hopefully you enjoy that. And stay tuned for later this week when we have 2 different interview specials.
Yeah. All right, cool. Tony, I want to hear what we got. So hit play.
Play.
Drunk on Comics
presents.
Oh, damn it. You fucked it up again.
The Road to C2E2. Yay!
All right, ready? Drunk on Comics
presents
the really loud road noise episode.
A.K.A. the road to C2E2.
Well, we're like halfway done with the road trip.
Yeah, we still got a little ways to go.
Yeah, we do. So, Derek and Tony here, just fucking around.
Yeah, so with this special edition, don't know when we're going to put it up, but it will be up eventually. Otherwise, we wouldn't be talking to you guys through this microphone, and you would not be hearing us tell you that this is our road trip to C2E2. But regardless, it's going to be broken up into different segments, different parts. We're going to hit pause, we're going to hit stop, we may take some restroom breaks, we may pick up some beers on the way, we may not do that part because that sounds dumb.
Well, we can pick up the beers. We're just not going to drink them, by the way.
True.
Although I'm thinking, you know, if we want to get real personal with our listeners, we could just take this right to the rest stop with us. So, oh, there's my toilet humor again.
Oh, yeah.
Get it? Get it? Yeah. So, Tony, what are you looking forward to this weekend?
Looking forward to the comics. Actually, no, it's really the toys.
Which, that blows me away. Like, I mean, I know you're a huge toy, you know, like, toy nerd, but, like...
You can get so much more satisfaction out of playing with a toy. Comic book, once you've read it, it goes back into that plastic bag, and you put it in your box, and you don't ever see it again. A toy, you can play with a toy for forever.
You can keep reading a comic for forever and appreciating the art and the story. And
so, out of all those comics that you have, how many times have you reread all of them?
I've probably reread, I'd say, at least half of them I've read at least twice.
Okay.
Some of them...
I played with my Optimus Prime at least 4,000 times.
Yeah.
So that's one Transformer, 4,000. You pick one comic.
Oh, you meant actually a Transformer, not just what you call your Wang.
Is that what you're saying, a toy?
Well, no. I thought you like named your Johnson Optimus Prime. That would be kind of a cool name for it, you know. Optimus Prime, or is it a Decepticon?
We don't want to get into transdimensional space when they transform.
What? I'm lost.
You don't know about Transformers and transdimensional space?
No.
How Megatron can turn into a huge fucking robot or into a small pistol that a human can hold?
Oh, yeah. That whole bullshit.
My penis grows.
Apparently it shrinks, too. All right. So, I'm kind of excited just because we're going to get to run into a lot of people that we, you know... Basically, conventions are like summer camp for nerds. You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just your little weekend getaway. So I'm excited to see a lot of people that we don't get to see really any other time other than when we go to the shows. But looking forward to meeting a lot of really cool artists and writers that I've been wanting to meet, just haven't had the opportunity to before. But this year, we're doing a lot more conventions than when we... You know, than before we started doing the podcast.
Yeah, well, we're also getting invited to a lot more conventions, which is always great. So, if you're throwing a convention, throw an invite our way.
Actually, that is how we've done a good handful of them. But yeah, so it's going to be a lot of fun. Just kind of go see. And this is actually one that we're not exhibiting at. We're just there as press. So we're going to kind of give you guys as good of a rundown as we can.
Yep, so hopefully we'll still be driving soon and coming up with some bullshit to talk about.
I'm hoping we'll be done driving soon. Does that mean we're there?
That's true.
All right, we'll catch you kids soon. So one of the things that I've always liked to do when I've been on road trips with my buddies is I play the license plate game.
What's that, Derek?
You know, people are going to think that we're drunk. No, the license plate game was a thing that my buddy Mike and I used to do, like whenever we'd be driving around. And you know, most states typically have three letters on their license plate. And you take the three letters and then you have to make a phrase out of the letters. Now, unfortunately...
That one says defense.
Yeah, well, see, that's the problem. You get down near Chicago and everybody has a fucking personalized license plate, so I don't have to try to make something up for that, although that's a lot more letters, so it makes it a lot more difficult. But anyway, so listeners, when you're cruising down the road, you see the three letters in front of you. Tony, what's your license plate? Just give me the three letters off of it.
R-U-M, rum.
R-U-M. So that could be let's see. Ripping underpants manually.
Okay. Well, so it's got to be the most weird thing ever?
Yeah, you try and make it weird, disgusting, ultimately funny. And you know, there's no winner because when you get to laugh, everybody wins.
Okay, how about this one? HJM.
HJM as in man?
Or yes, as in man, monkey.
Okay. Well, that's the hand job monkey. It instantly comes up, but...
yep.
Let's see. We could say HJM. Hmm.
I wonder if people are listening, if they could come up with the correct answer.
And tweet us! At Drunk on Comics on the Twitters. Yeah. I don't have anything else other than for HJM. The problem is most of mine are filthy when I play this game.
Well, I just saw one that said CNA.
CNA? Let's see. Hmm. Well, this is going to be a boring podcast. I just sit here and think. CNA. Couldn't nut again?
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Creamy nun ass.
Oh, that's just not.
Oh, so there is a line, and I crossed it. I see.
I don't really have a line. Well, I do have a little bit of a line. Okay. Oh, see. Okay. Q's and X's and K's are like the ones that are really hard.
How's K?
Because K, you pretty much have kangaroo and kinky.
Or kick.
Well, you have kid. Okay.
Kickball or...
BBV.
BBV?
I got mine. But I'm not saying what the V is.
Vagina?
What? That's gross. all right. BQW.
Burger King Whopper?
BQ.
Duh. Oh, BQ.
Yeah.
Burger Queen Whopper? STX.
STX. You can't do X's. X's suck. Oh, wait. This is a little bit of a...
Stupid Tony Xylophone?
Well, this one's more of a stretch, but stop... And the last two words have to be hyphenated, but stop time-traveling X-Men. Fucking screwing up the time stream continuum. Yeah, so after this weekend, we've got 3 weeks, which, you know, depending on when we put this up, it could be 2 weeks, 1 week, whatever.
It could be way in the future.
It could be in the past, but our next convention trip after this one is Motor City Comic Con. And yes. that's a big one for us. C-A-Y.
C-A-Y?
Yeah. What? C-A-Y. Curdled apple yogurt?
That's a little more PC there. Well, PG.
Yeah. That was totally PG. But yeah, so Motor City Comic Con, then we're going to be hitting that up, and we will have a booth there, so you can come up and play the license plate game with us in person. And I'm just happy. Like, I didn't realize until last time Matt was with us that Matt's the one that people get to poke with a stick this time.
Yep.
Yeah.
But he is our best stick drawer, so...
Yeah. Well, and his stick figures got a little bit more involved than stick figures.
Yeah, they were actually pretty decent, and...
Well, he started, like, using curved lines and shit.
Yep, and don't remember, folks, all donations for those stick figures go to support JDF.
Juvenile Diabetes Foundation. Yep. By the way, you said, don't remember.
Oh, don't.
Yeah, don't forget.
No.
Yeah. How much money did we raise for Juvenile Diabetes Foundation last year?
Actually, last year it was $17.
Yeah.
I believe. So, yeah, we sold 17 of our amazing drawings. Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Did you just now notice the big rant, like the rumble strips that were going on that I guarantee you people at home heard?
I was more focused on what I was going to say than actually watching the road to drive.
Remember, kids, don't podcast and drive.
So we may not make it to C2E2 or to Motor City Comic Con.
Oh,
shit.
Thank God I'm not riding with you to Motor City. I just gotta make it.
Record another one of these.
Yeah, I'll just record one on my own. Just me singing along with the radio.
Coming up with your own thoughts on letters of license plates, yeah, and being like, ha ha, that one was good. I'm gonna save that one for later.
Yeah. So coming up next, kids, more silence.
Song that you don't want anyone to know. And of course, then we all were in the back of the car talking about, yeah, okay, yeah, there's that one, and I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we'll zig a zig zag something else later.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so this time, Tony, I am recording.
You weren't before? Okay, good. I hope you weren't.
Well, maybe I was, maybe I wasn't. But, no, well, this time, here's the difference. Here's the difference. This time I'm telling you I'm recording.
I don't know, I'll still sing.
Yeah. Actually, I will admit, there's a little bit of, there's a little bit of, like, Backstreet that's a guilty pleasure as far as the songs. But, then again, it does fit right in with our boy band karaoke group that we have.
Oh, yes. That is something that our listeners do need to see someday.
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, like, I just wish everybody at home could, and you don't necessarily want to hear it as much as you want to see it.
You want to experience it.
Yeah.
You want to experience the plan B.
Oh, yeah.
You need the plan B.
Yeah. Well, they'll need the plan B for sure.
After a night with us.
Yeah, because they'll probably be drinking a lot just to make it through. Tolerate that fucking terrible music or stuff that we call music, and then yeah, you just don't know. Yeah, we're called Plan B because it sounds like a good idea that night. You just got to pay for it the next day.
Yep.
But yeah, I've described our style of karaoke as very simply, we're okay singers. You know, we're not good or great singers, but we are great entertainers.
Yes.
And that's really the difference. So, yeah, we have to go, actually, that's what we should do. The World Convention Karaoke Tour.
Ooh.
Yeah, do nothing but Comic-Cons and karaoke bars.
Start inviting all the artists out and say, come on, guys, you really need to check this out.
Yeah.
We are artists in the form of karaoke.
Yeah, drink and draw, and drink and sing.
Yep, we're good at two things. Kind of drinking and recording.
We're mostly just gonna drink it. So, but. Alright, Tony, you gotta change the music. This might be your guilty pleasure, but it's making my butthole clench up like no tomorrow.
Alright, I turned it off. God, fuck you, son.
Fuck you, Dad.
No, the sun is like blinding me, and I think we may crash once again, not by choice.
Wait, did we crash once?
The almost crash. Oh. Which that wasn't my choice really either, but
no, that was your choice because you chose to not pay attention.
Yes, and I'm trying to pay more attention, but the damn sun is blinding me.
Yeah, it's like science.
Blinding me like a bat.
Yeah. So, that kind of raises a question. And here is, and actually, I don't know if you know this one either, just because you hate Superman. I just never been into Superman. I don't hate him, but you and your brother hate him.
I don't hate him. I mean, I haven't met the guy, so.
Yeah.
Until I do.
Is he stronger in the middle of the day?
I want to say yes. I mean, I don't think he, you know, it's maybe marginal if they fight him at night, but.
Like, at least, is he kind of like a solar panel? He sucks it all in?
Yeah, well, didn't they do that with the new Superman book? Not Superman Forever, Superman Legends.
Superman Batman?
No, not that fucking title. Kevin talked about it before.
I don't know.
Superman Kevin. Supreme, maybe? Bizarro Superman? There's some fucking Superman book out there where he was saying how the government held him and just pretty much kept him in the sunlight at all times, and he charged like a super battery. So I'm assuming, I mean, he's flown into the sun and came back and
kicked ass. Isn't it the radiation from the sun? Isn't that what gives him his power?
It, true. Yeah. Well, I mean, are we getting radiated then by the sun? Fuck you, sun.
Well, fuck you, Dad. This is going to be all weekend. I think that, well, because there's got to be radiation, like, constantly going all the way around the Earth.
True.
You know, but I don't know.
Well, they have, I don't know. I guess we need to look up some more Superman lore. But what if Superman became a vampire? He'd be doubly fucked. Because he needs the sun to be super, but vampires can't go in the sun. So, checkmate, Superman. Batman can bite you.
Wait a second, though. But if Superman was a vampire, I don't think the sun could hurt him.
Why?
Because he would have his superpowers. And, yeah, maybe he'd get crispy, but he'd constantly be regenerating.
True. Yeah. He'd be the Daywalker.
Yeah.
The one they prophesized.
He'd be, like walking through a hallway, and you don't see him. People are like, is that burning hair I smell?
Clark Kent will be going around, I am Batman. Super Batman. Batman will be so pissed.
That just reminded me for some reason of our little podcast, the Drunk on Lawyers episode.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I ran into the lawyers last night.
Oh, did you?
For the hockey game, yeah. And they're looking forward to our next one. So we need to plan that now so that in 6 months' time it might happen.
Wait, what? At a hockey game?
No, before watching the hockey game at the bar.
Oh, okay, yeah. I was going to say, actually, I ran into him last weekend, I think, because it was Regina's birthday.
Okay.
So, yeah, that was fun. But, yeah, so for listeners that don't know what we're talking about, go back a couple months, and you can find our Drunk on Lawyers Special Edition podcast where we ask questions about if superheroes were real and the legal ramifications of what would have to go on.
Did Regina tell you about her brother in Colombia?
Yes.
And how we're big down there.
Yeah, so hey, Colombians.
Colombian drug lords, hi.
What? Why do they gotta be drug lords?
Colombian cartels.
How about, like, hey, nice Colombian people who happen to have crime in their area like we have crime here?
Okay, well, I mean, I'm not knocking an occupation. I mean, they could be doing whatever. I'm just saying, go home, boy, yeah.
Hey, American crack dealer. Hey, American crack dealer, how are you?
Hey, if you're listening to us, thanks for the listen.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Hey, you know.
Thanks for the like and the retweet.
Every download counts, right?
Yeah. So,
but, all right, well, that's all
let's
I got.
Let's talk about Gary, Indiana, where we're kind of driving through. This is fucking Gotham.
Gary, Indiana.
No, this is the cesspool of America.
No. Gary, Indiana is the worst-smelling city in America.
That's what I just said.
No, you said it was a cesspool and it's Gotham.
Well, it smells like a cesspool.
Yeah.
And it could be, like, Gotham. I mean, look at it. It's Gotham-y.
I don't know. If I was in Gotham, I'd probably have the Batmobile, and if I had the Batmobile, I would pass this fucking truck that you just decided to keep staying behind.
I want us to live. I want to make it on time. Actually, all right, I'm going to pass. Oh, no.
Wow. You drive like my grandma. By the way, she's dead.
Burn.
So, uh-oh, we got to pay a toll. So, all right, be back later.
And this is the part of the trip where we're actually at C2E2 doing interviews.
Well, we're in the hotel doing interviews.
we're still not in the car ride.
Well, yeah. No, but I mean, it's like, well, we really aren't doing interviews because we're talking to each other. But anyway, get your shit ready. I want to get down to the floor. You ready?
Let's go.
All right.
And it is the road home from C2E2. We had a blast. Of course, we got some good tunes playing. Got to meet Claudio from Coheed and Cambria. So I guess I can turn that down a bit so we can chat a bit.
It's not going to help. You can barely hear.
I don't care. I can amplify the sound. Listeners can maybe, and if not, then they're not going to listen to this anyway. So it's for my own benefit that we can talk about all the shit I just bought that I really shouldn't have.
Yeah, and if this does get posted, if people are listening, please know if this is your first time listening, this isn't what it normally sounds like. Just road noise is really hard to filter out with this handheld recorder.
It can filter out everyone in the convention hall, but I can't get rid of the road rash.
That's a different rash that you can't get rid of.
But anyways, I wanted to go back in and buy a sword. You should have let me go back in and buy a sword, because that would have been cheaper than the pit stop we just made getting fireworks.
Well, no. The pit stop, yes, we made. You got fireworks. I went, nah.
They were buy one, get one free.
So you got $160 worth of fireworks then for only $80.
I know, and I wish I didn't.
I sat there looking at you going, what the hell are you doing? You're like, this is cool. This is cool.
They go boom, and a sword goes slash, and I wish I got a sword.
Yeah.
But I didn't.
Well, we didn't really have time because we had to run out of the convention there at the end.
And knowing my luck, anyways, I spent 75 cents on a penny at the gumball machine.
Yeah, okay. What the fuck was this gumball machine?
It said rare coins. Insert 75 cents. You could possibly get a rare coin. I got a penny.
Well, it's a wheat penny, but it looks, this might actually be more rare than you think, because it looks silver, and I don't know why a penny would ever be silver.
Well, listeners do know that you like to go digging. Maybe I'll go bury that in my backyard and come find it.
I'd be fine with doing that. I mean, hell, I found that filthy nudie coin in your backyard.
Which was random, but cool.
Yeah.
But let's go back to the convention. What was one of your funnest moments this weekend?
Okay, so when you say... when you say, like, what are you going for, most fun or favorite part?
I'd say most fun.
Okay. Most fun, because that's really where I went full-on fanboy, was getting a chance to meet David Mack and getting a commission from him.
Which is beautiful, by the way.
Yeah. Well, and honestly, I didn't... And I got to give this guy credit, because he is such an amazingly talented artist. And when I went up there, I was looking, and I was getting books signed, and I asked if if he was taking commissions still, because it was Saturday, and I didn't know if he was sold out completely or not. And he goes, I'm booked up for today, but I do have space tomorrow if you're gonna be around. I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, well, what are you charging for this? And he's like, well, and he got really shy, and it was actually like really awesome for a moment, because it's kind of like, well, here's my little sheet with my prices on it. Like, he doesn't want to be pushy at all. And I'm like, are you kidding me? So, you had two options, the quick brush and ink or the less quick. And obviously the less quick, a little bit more money and
you want to get detail. Your money's worth. You want it to last longer.
And I'm like, okay, so put me down. And he's like, all right, well, which one do you want? And I'm like, I don't know when I'm going to get a chance to see you again and get a commission again. So here, boom. I just threw the big money down and went, that's it. But what about you, Tony? What was your most fun?
Well, I kind of want to say two things, but...
Most fun, not favorite.
Okay. most fun was talking to the people over at Dorkly. Those guys, I feel like, are kindred spirits. That interview was amazing. Just full-on nerdiness. And then we tried to hook up with them at the end, at the after party. They decided to go get margaritas. And, well, when they finally got back, we unfortunately didn't get to do a drunken interview with them. But, hey, there's always Skype for that. Yeah. Some random Saturday night.
Or we can convince them to hit up another convention that we're going to be at.
Yeah, or we could go hit up a convention they're going to be at, because we're on the convention circuit now.
Yeah, which, okay, least fun part of C2E2?
Fucking walking, or standing.
My legs and feet are fucking killing me, but that's every convention.
And but this one I felt more, like, because it's so much bigger than some of the shows we've gone to, there's a lot of space to walk around.
I didn't think it was actually, like, significantly larger than some of the other shows as far as space. I mean, it was, but I think a lot of it too was the distance that you were walking to get into the building, you know.
No, the floor plan of that place sucked.
What? You thought?
To get to the McDonald's. You gotta go up, back, okay. Down, yeah, and around. And
of the building. I thought you were talking about the convention. I'm like,
No.
I'm like, I thought the fucking convention floor was, like, brilliantly laid out.
That was brilliantly. Once you got in there. But, like, there's three different tier levels, and then to go to this back room, to get to the press room, you have to go through a secret hobbit hole, and I don't know.
Yeah, but realistically, you should have loved it, because it was kind of like, you know, playing Zelda. You gotta smash the right brick and go through a secret door.
Yes. But the after party was fun. Thank you, Comic Book Resources, for our new...
Our newfound appreciation for the bar at C2E2.
Yes, because the CBR bar, I don't know, it just goes. Now, if they had a Drunk on Comics bar, I'd have to say it's a little bit better. But
yeah,
it's cool for them to kind of get their name out there and to, I don't know, kind of host that take over that bar for the weekend.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know if Reed Pop, who puts on... C2E2, if they're tied in with Comic Book Resources, or if they CBR did a sponsorship or whatever to get that. Regardless, it was kind of cool to have just that aspect tied into the hotel, so that, you know, the nerds were taking over the Hyatt.
Yeah, and even if they weren't nerds, they were there at the hotel, they had to kind of be nerds when they went to the CBR bar, so.
Yeah. Okay, so we already covered most fun moment. What was your favorite moment?
I mean, favorite was getting the chance to sit down and do an interview with both the writers for Translucid.
Yeah.
Chandra and Claudio. That was, I don't know, that was just really sweet.
Yeah, that was, it was a really, I mean, they were so, so nice. And that was a huge surprise for me, because I didn't realize that they were going to be there.
Yeah, neither did I. And I'm a huge Coheed and Cambria fan. So to get a chance to even kind of talk to him a bit about the band and everything was cool. I would have to say, too, we did a lot of writers this time.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just so happens that they actually had a lot more writers, you know, there. Or then again, you know, some of the artists that were there we have talked to before, so.
But at a lot of conventions, though, artists are there to sell their stuff. The writers don't always have a lot of stuff to sell, so
yeah,
they don't always get booths.
Well, yeah, and but then again, you know, I think having the writers come in brings in more fans, so I don't know, and I'm not speaking, you know, for Reed Pop by any means, but it's possible that they might pay them an appearance fee or hook them up with some kind of a comp to be there, because that helps just bring in more fans like you and me. So
well, then, and also getting to talk to Justin Ponzer, get the ins and outs of coloring.
Yeah, or at least a good, like, just a peek into the field. Yeah, we've been wanting to talk to a great colorist for a long time, and we've had some that. Whatever reason, the interviews end up having to change because their workload changes or something pops up. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that I think will, you know, I would like to talk to more people that do colors because I find it fascinating, and I want to learn more about it.
Well, we got a lot of solid, good interviews. When and if we ever air our thoughts before and after this show, don't know, because we don't know how my driving ability / the road / we almost died on the way down there. Now I got a trunk full of fireworks, so hopefully we don't blow up on the way home.
Yeah. Well, and before we go to that, Tony, are you going to ask me what the fuck my favorite part was, or don't you give a shit?
Oh. Sorry, that was my line. I skipped it.
Yeah.
What was your favorite part, Derek?
Mine was actually... It was probably a twofold. There was a... And each twofold is a twofold.
You said I couldn't do two for my part.
You'll understand why. Now, the one is a twofold because it's the same... It was the same as yours.
Okay.
You know, and it was the surprise factor. That now, the other surprise was that Boom Studios had a copy of The Woods. And that kind of ties in with the Boom and Translucent. So it was the surprises from Boom Studios that were there. But it kind of tied into yours. And then, you know, having Claudio and Chandra there that got to meet and interview them. That was awesome.
Well, it was really cool to see the presence of a lot of different, you know, publishers there.
Yeah. Yeah, it really was cool. Now, my actual favorite, though, and I say it's twofold, but it's the same thing, but there were two people in particular who I'm not going to mention on here, but one is an industry professional, another is was an Eisner Award-winning creator that when I went up and, you know, introduced myself and we just started talking, and I mentioned the podcast, and they go, oh, what's the podcast called? And I said, Drunk on Comics. They both not only instantly knew who we were, listened to us on a regular basis. And that was hands down the coolest, my favorite part of it, because I love what we do on this podcast. But there is an element of work that goes into it for us to be able to do it. You know, I mean, we sacrifice other things in our lives, and to have people in the industry that I have a lot of respect for that are familiar with us and like what we do, that was the best thing that could have come out of the entire weekend for me.
Well, I'm going to do a twofold then too, because you bounced off of my favorite part, so to bounce off your favorite part was also meeting some of our fans.
Yeah.
Like, really, when we do this, we're just doing this kind of for ourselves. We've always just said, we talk about this stuff anyways, why not record it? And that there's actually people that listen to us is kind of surreal still. I mean, we've been doing this for going on 2 years now, but that we have those fans and that we were able to interact with them and that they were looking forward to meeting us.
And interact in person, you know, because, you know, we try and interact as best we can on the social media. But, yeah, to actually get to meet some people and, you know, met another one of our writers, Scott Bachman, who... We're going to be seeing him again here in September in Cincinnati, and we're going to get to do an interview with him at that point about his comics that he makes. But he writes reviews for our website, you know. Saw another one of our review writers today. Today. And then ran into another one of our review writers yesterday. You know, so that was awesome. It's just, you know, it's great to sit and see all these people that we forget sometimes. You know, there are so many people out there that listen to what we do and like what we do. But like Tony said, since we do it for ourselves, you know, occasionally it's like, oh yeah, we're not the only ones that like who we are. But Tony, you're not going to kill us this time, right?
Yes, I am paying attention now driving.
Okay, good.
A bit.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So what was your overall take on the show?
Oh, it was better than... I already had high expectations, but they were exceeded.
Yeah.
I will say definitely, instead of last-minute room changes and finding stuff, we're definitely getting a full room. Hell, who knows? Maybe we might get a booth next year, but definitely coming back
to experience this. You know, for as much as I'd like to have a booth there, I really enjoyed the freedom of being able to cruise around and do what we want. And I do want to say thank you to C2E2. We applied for press passes and were able to get in, which then, thus allowed us to do all the interviews that we wanted to do. Well, to do all the interviews that we did do, we didn't get to do all the interviews that we wanted to, because that's just the way it works at every show. You can't get to everyone. It just doesn't happen. But
yeah. We made some connections that down the road, we like using our Skype. We like doing online interviews. We just like talking about stuff.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who you are. Hell, we might even need to do a listeners forum sometimes and do that, because we are open to ideas for improving our show, to making it more of what you want to listen to.
Yeah, well, and we actually talked about doing a listeners forum a long time ago, but that's more difficult than trying to schedule just the four of us to get into a room. So, Tony, out of all the stuff that you, out of all the things that you bought, do you have a favorite?
I have to say the flask.
Yeah. Not counting commissions,
Yeah. The flask, hands down, will be my new favorite. Can't leave home without it. Instrument.
Yeah, that was awesome. Loved that flask. And honestly, I didn't buy much there. I mean, I got 3 commissions, but I did pick up just a handful of comic books.
Yeah, I didn't even buy any comic books. Of course, I have to forget something, and I forgot my list, so didn't really know what I'd be looking for. However, the prints that I got were amazing, and I am having a commission being done, not at the convention, because I was too late to get one in, but can't wait till I get that. And, yeah, ultimately, I could have spent a lot more money.
Well, you did. You bought fireworks. And a penny. You bought fireworks and a penny, you jackass. I only bought a couple books, and it was primarily a trade paperback here and there. And then, just a couple of the comics from the people that we interviewed, wanted to pick those up. So, didn't have a whole lot, but yeah, the flask was awesome. Was there anything there that you regret that you missed? I mean, I know there was one print that Justin Ponser had that we weren't able to go back for, which is disappointing, but it happens sometimes.
Probably the Keyblade sword that I wanted to buy.
Oh, my God.
From Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, God.
That's what I had my eye on, and I so wanted to go back and get it, but...
How much was it?
It was 50 yesterday. I was going to see if they went down to 40, and that would have been great, but even not. 50 would have been cheaper than all the damn fireworks I bought.
Yeah, and you would have had something left.
Yeah.
Now, was that Keyblade, was it plastic or what?
No, it was a metal one.
Really? For 50 bucks?
Yeah, that's why I was like, holy shit, that's pretty damn good for that. There was a plastic wooden one for 30, but if I'm going to go all out, might as well do the real thing. Maybe open up some keyholes. Who knows? Traverse some worlds.
I fucking hated that game.
What?
Yeah. I don't like Disney characters mixing with my Final Fantasy characters.
I love Disney and I love Final Fantasy, so that was the wedding that I've been waiting to happen.
Yeah, I love Final Fantasy, and I really don't want anything mixing with my Final Fantasy.
Really?
Yeah.
Not even X-Men?
No. No. No.
So that's the line that's drawn.
Yeah, Final Fantasy is its own thing. You don't mix it with anything. I can't think of a single thing that you could mix with it and actually have it be good. That includes Disney.
Chrono Trigger?
What?
Chrono Trigger. Well, it's kind of like a Final Fantasy-ish game back in the day, NES.
Oh, yeah, I did play it.
See, I'm a bigger gamer nerd than you.
Well, actually, yeah, that kind of goes back to the dorkly thing. They're more general dorks, and as an entire group, they all have the general love of nerdly things, and I'm sure within their group, each one has their own, I'm way into this one, the other person, I'm way into this thing, Whereas me, I'm just more of a comic book nerd than a general nerd. I'm very selective.
Oh man, that would be a perfect t-shirt. General nerd. And then like have like a couple stars on the shoulders there. Get it? Yeah. Get it? Because I'm a general.
Yeah.
More than a sergeant.
Yeah. I got it.
Okay.
You should keep that private. Alright. Anything else we should look back on?
No, but I'm sure we will think of something and turn this thing on again and record some random thoughts on, well, not time travel, teleporting, because fuck, man, I'd love to just be home right now.
Yeah, I would definitely like that myself. You know, but hey, we're almost back in Michigan, so looking forward to getting back home, and actually, I'm looking forward to dinner. So I think that's going to be something that might have to happen on the way back home. So, all right, we'll check out and see what comes up later. And if this is the end, then...
This is the end as we know it. The road home from C2E2.
Yeah, it's the end of the world as we know it, but...
I feel fine.
All right, so listeners, hopefully you enjoyed that car ride. It was interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Even more so for some of the parts that I cut out.
Yeah, well, and more so for some of the parts you left in. But anyway, it was still definitely a lot of fun. Yeah, so I hope you guys enjoyed that. And we've got more interviews later on this week. Two segments, right, Tony?
Yep.
Yeah, and other than that, keep reading your comic books, and we'll be back next week to talk to you more about them then.
Don't podcast and drive.